1045 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Special report, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Dave Packer. A historic win for former President Trump.
We want to thank the great people of Iowa. Thank you. We love you all.
Winning last night's Iowa caucuses by the largest margin ever. ABC's M. Nguyen is in Des Moines with what motivated caucus goers.
On the issues most important to Iowa caucus goers, the economy was number one, followed closely by immigration, issues Trump has made central to his platform, helping him finish Iowa with more than 50%. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley far behind. DeSantis invested heavily in Iowa, visiting all 99 counties, holding more campaign events than Haley and Trump combined. Many experts called Iowa a make-or-break moment for his campaign, as recent polls showed Haley gaining ground.
Next stop, New Hampshire, with a January 23rd primary. It could be less decisive for Trump, given that independents and undeclared voters can participate there. This is ABC News. New warnings about artificial intelligence and your job. The International Monetary Fund now says AI will likely disrupt nearly 40% of jobs worldwide. Some big winners at the Emmys. ABC's Jason Nathanson in Hollywood.
Succession. Six wins for the final season of HBO's Succession, including Best Drama, Best Actress for Sarah Snook, and Best Actor for Kieran Culkin, who used his acceptance speech to tell his wife, Jazz, he wants more kids.
You said maybe if I win.
The FX series The Bear, also with six wins, including Best Comedy, and Best Comedy Actress went to Abbott Elementary's Quinta Brunson, the first black woman to win the award since The Jeffersons' Isabel Sanford did it 42 years ago.
Thank you so much. I don't even know why I'm so emotional.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And the first round of the NFL playoffs wrapping up with a Monday doubleheader. The Buffalo Bills advancing after beating the Steelers, and the Buccaneers bouncing the Eagles out of the playoffs. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehow, Civic Media News.
Marquette gets a W. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After back-to-back losses, the Marquette Golden Eagles beat Villanova. Final score 87-74. Head coach Shaka Smart says, easier said than done.
I mean, Villanova's got grown men. They got like eight seniors. Toughness, physicality. There's nobody on their team where you can hide a guy in a matchup.
Marquette heads to St. John's on Saturday. Big Ten, number 15th ranked Wisconsin takes on Penn State on the road. NBA, it's the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night to kick off a three-game road trip. NFL, the Packers face the 49ers Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Kickoff at 7:15. I asked right guard John Runyon about the growth of quarterback Jordan Love.
Unbelievable. Just how much he's grown. Dude, I think we've won 8 of the last 11 games, and he's really just starting to flourish, feels comfortable. This is his offense, his team, and he's going to keep going, keep pushing, and on to San Francisco now.
That's Packers right guard John Runyon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is bitterly cold out there today. We have a wind chill advisory in effect through this morning. The wind chill is going to be hovering between minus 20 and minus 30 here for a good chunk of the day. Mostly cloudy, some light snow showers today, 3 above. More light snow tonight, less than a half inch, 5 below tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a high near 6. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 5 below.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Back here on this Tuesday, January 16th, it is 7:06 in the morning. Nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network, where Rob from Tigerton says on Facebook, good morning from Tigerton. It's cold, 9 below, a wind chill of 25 below at the home of the Tigerton Lumber Company. I remember times as a kid back in the 70s of being below zero for a week or two as well. Yeah, that's always the best, Greg, when we have to go, you know, multiple days with below zero temperatures. It's why we remind ourselves we don't have huge spiders and all kinds of other critters that they do down south.
Yeah.
True. Very true.
We've got that. We've got that going for us.
Great.
That's Greg is not convinced yet. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us as well. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Yeah, speaking of the critters, I think the farmers are finally happy too that we're getting this deep freeze, because the bugs, they like to go in, and the potato beetle, all of that Wisconsin deals with as well. So farmers are excited. You know, the anglers are excited while everybody else is shivering in their boots.
it's part of the season. It comes along with the process. So we deal with it. It doesn't last. What do I say? We're one day closer to spring.
Exactly.
We're getting there.
I stepped in a snowbank this morning and I take my shoes off. So I'm not even shivering in my boots. I'm shivering in socks.
Barefoot, shivering in the studio.
Well, that makes sense, because the 7 o'clock temperatures, Waukesha right now is the cold spot at minus 11, compared to Park Falls up north where it's 10 below. You got 9 below in Wausau, Madison, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay's at minus 7, La Crosse minus 6, Hayward minus 6, Lake Wissota, it's minus 6. So we're all below zero for a little bit longer here, Brittany. Maybe more than a little bit. What's the
it's
word?
It's rough. I just looked at Waukesha. So you're sitting at negative 11 actual temperature. Your wind chill right now is 30 below zero.
What joy.
Yeah, that is rough. I mean, frostbite, of course, can occur within about 15 minutes in those conditions. So layer up, bundle up, don't wear anything too tight or too heavy, because you don't want to sweat either. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it can definitely happen as you bundle up like the Michelin Man or something. So be careful out there this morning. Of course, we are going to slowly climb today, even into our overnight hours. We'll climb to a single digit above zero, but it's going to be feeling like 15 to 20 below all day because of those winds, still gusting up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. And even right now, they're only at about 10, and it's still creating those dangerous wind chills. So another brutal cold day ahead for us. Also, farmers with your livestock out there, make sure you're keeping an eye on them as well. I know they're hardy, but they're going to need the extra water. They're going to need the extra food. Their metabolism is going. They're going to be drinking a lot. Give them dry blankets, all of that. I just want everyone to be safe, humans and animals alike.
Good point. And by the way, those animals, the hoofed ones, I got a note from a text from Travis in Greenfield asking, was I thinking of equine, maybe, for the hoofed animals?
Those are horses. And,
yeah.
Well, it turns out the word I was using the word wrong. The word I was trying to think of was cloven. And that's when the hoof is split, like, and has a toe. So I was thinking cloven somehow described all hoofed mammals, but no, it was the one, Greg, that you gave me.
Ungulate,
yes, which I'd never heard of. But look, we're all learning stuff here, Brittany.
Word reminds me of ufta, and that's how I feel about the weather right now.
That's exactly right.
I use that term. I used to say it to make fun of my mom because she says it for real, and now I say it for real.
Yes, you do.
I'm a prison of my own.
It's like
design.
Like they said, your face will freeze that way if you keep making that face. The same can be said for your language.
Yeah, be careful today. Your face could definitely freeze that way.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yes. When we went to Atlanta last week, you know, they are cowards, by the way. They shut down for rain. I'm not kidding you. One of the places shut down because it was raining. When I told them that it was like 1 degree below zero and it was like going to be like the wind chill be 20, 30, they were like, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know.
Because we're proud. I don't know. I like the bragging rights. We're pretty strong up here, up north.
Yes, we are. Oh, another note from Rob. Watch out for cats. They'll go into the engine block of your car to keep warm. That does happen from time to time.
That does.
So be careful for the critters who might get in. And if you're lucky, it's just the cat, and you can get the cat out of there. But plenty of other things might get in there.
Watch out for something that's an ungulate.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Stay warm.
Will do. Let's see. We also, when we were talking about the Emmys a bit ago here, Greg, we missed a bit of history.
Yes, indeed.
There is now a brand new member of the EGOT Club for Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Mm-hmm. That member is Sir Elton John, who won his Emmy last night for his live from Dodger Stadium, which was his farewell concert.
Mm-hmm.
And
so good on him. Like, like he couldn't do anything more in life.
Right.
Now he's finally got the EGOT.
And I think he's the 19th member too. Joins such wonderful people as John Legend, Whoopi Goldberg, Mike Nichols, and a personal favorite of mine, Mr. Mel Brooks.
Oh, of course. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, good. So anyway, Emmys were, they were rather entertaining. Some of us had to go to bed a little bit earlier, but, you know, definitely, well, it was put together very well. A lot of nice, touchy moments, just enough reminiscing about past shows to make it enjoyable. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Professor Sam Wong from the Princeton Gerrymandering Institute about those 7 different map proposals that were submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court late Friday as the justices work to replace the current legislative maps, which are, you know, unconstitutionally gerrymandering the state. We will also hear from Chad Holmes, who comes up next on Bull Falls Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder as well that we were talking to Christina Laurie in our last hour about the daily newsletter for Up North News, and you can catch that on a daily basis, unabashedly Wisconsin news, by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter up in the top banner and get yourself on there. All right, we were talking about the Iowa caucuses a bit before, and one of the leading issues for people that were supporting Donald Trump in Iowa last night dealt with immigration, despite a rather lack of appreciation for, I don't know, demographics as more baby boomers retire, as there continue to be a need for people to fill jobs that other people don't really want to do, you know, in terms of, say, you know, mucking a barn or milking the cows and things like that. There's never been a more important time for immigration reform, which Republicans continue to block and are again saying, we want action at the border, but we don't want action at the border if Joe Biden will get the credit for it. So they're happy to demonize immigrants. They're happy to not do anything about immigration reform if they can make political hay out of it. And that's where I would recommend to you a great opinion piece from Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner. She put this out a week ago on what's happening in Whitewater with an influx of immigrants, about 800 to 1,000 immigrants and asylum seekers, many from Nicaragua, have been arriving. not all at once. And that's what some politicians are trying to make you think. This has been going on for the past couple of years. It's not just a caravan that made it this far. They're trickling up here to Wisconsin for the same reason they have been for a couple of generations now. There's work to be had. There's a labor shortage. And these are people looking for work. Sadly, there are also people who are happy to denigrate them, just as others denigrated their great-great-grandparents when they first came to America. As Ruth Conniff writes, immigrants make up a significant part of the workforce on the farms surrounding Whitewater in rural Walworth County, and she should know. Ruth wrote the book Milked, all about how Wisconsin agriculture would collapse without immigrant labor. Immigrants who will do the work that few Americans would. It's dirty, it's dangerous, it's far from home. But getting back to Whitewater, back in November, Congressman Brian Stile and Senator Ron Johnson, neither of whom could ever pretend to tote the hay bales needed every day on a dairy farm, instead have decided to make political hay out of the situation, talking all about Biden's open borders when they are the ones who refuse to do anything about it. So right-wing media seized upon a letter written by the Whitewater police chief to President Biden asking for federal aid to help cope with the influx of recent migrants. These politicians, however, were quick to evoke scary, uncertain, even violent imagery, even though the real issue is that the migrants themselves are the ones who are fleeing violence back home. It is here in America where they can walk the streets safely. But they do have needs, like any immigrant community, for resources, for assistance, and local government budgets don't have the funding to provide those services as fully as they'd like. And why are local budgets strapped for cash? Yeah, years of Republican budget cuts and freezes. They are the ones quite literally defunding local police and local services. The police chief there also mentioned, as we have on this program before, the issue of unlicensed drivers. This is a real safety issue, and it's not the migrants' fault. The way to make the road safer is for migrants to feel comfortable getting a driver's license after being properly trained. But Republicans killed that option back in 2006, not allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses anymore. So they don't take the safety classes. They drive unlicensed. And it was that Republican move in 2006 that has made Wisconsin roads less safe. Now, Whitewater officials have made it clear, not just to Ruth Conniff at the Examiner, but a story in the Journal Sentinel and elsewhere, they consider themselves to be a welcoming place. They are not asking to dig a moat around the town of Whitewater. Nonprofit groups are stepping up to provide assistance. Members of the community are stepping up. And they are rightfully asking politicians to step up and be helpful. And instead, from politicians like Brian Stile and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and others, our Wisconsin hometowns are being used as a backdrop for their very tired and very hateful political games. Tiffany's doing it in the Eau Claire area. You see it in Whitewater. You see it in other towns where we deserve and have many good neighbors, but some of our elected leaders are not among them. And frankly, we deserve a lot better for Wisconsin's long, long record of being a welcoming place for immigrants when done right. Let's pause here. When we come back, we'll continue unpacking the news for this day. We'll talk about gerrymandered maps with Professor Sam Wong of the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, about how we go about fixing the maps that have kept extremist politicians in place for far too long. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier. I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
She said, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me.
Singer Jim Stafford is 80 years old today. Happy birthday to him. Hey, we were asking earlier, what's your favorite dive bar? What's the best dive bar in Wisconsin? Christina Laurie was talking about that in our past hour, about an article for our daily newsletter. If you'd like to nominate somebody, talk them up for having just great atmosphere, maybe great food, a great place to watch a sports event, 844-967-2789. You can call it or just text us and give a shout out to your favorite Wisconsin dive bar. We'd love to know what and why you would nominate them. So we are still days away from the potential for a government shutdown. And if that sounds like a broken record, I don't blame you. The federal budget should have been done back in September, October, but they have figuratively been kicking the can ever since then, because a handful of House Republicans would rather obstruct than govern. Now, the way it stands right now, Congress must pass some sort of a spending bill by January 19th. Otherwise, the departments and the agencies funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Energy, Military Construction, the VA, Transportation, other spending measures would enter into a shutdown. The remaining departments and agencies that are funded through the annual budget process would shut down on February 2nd. If the House and Senate still don't come to an agreement on either a short-term spending bill or the full year bills before that deadline. Now, once again, you've got the handful of far-right Republicans who are demanding massive cuts as a form of blackmail. They don't see shutting down the government as a problem, even though time and time again, it is demonstrated how real Americans are hurt, how small businesses are hurt when they're contracting with the government. We hear all about protecting the border, but the Border Patrol agents, they don't get paid until the shutdown is over. Nobody wins in a government shutdown. And for every one of them that Republicans have put out there and caused, they've never actually won, because you can't govern the United States of America at gunpoint, which is figuratively, again, what they're doing with a government shutdown. You negotiate the best deal that you can, and then you actually pass something that will benefit the American people. If you can't do that, if you're just there to obstruct, well, again, if you're in a gerrymandered district and you can just appeal to your base alone, maybe that works for you, but you know, by and large, for most Americans, it doesn't work that way. So when you contrast that with, say, the Iowa caucus results from yesterday, where for all the talk about Iowa, who voted yesterday? 114,000 people. That's it. 114,000 people in Iowa are setting this kind of stage for, again, mostly rural, mostly white voters in a caucus that has in the past elected Pat Robertson, who did not become the Republican nominee, Rick Santorum, who did not become the Republican nominee, Mike Huckabee, ditto, Ted Cruz, ditto. Donald Trump didn't win it when he first ran for president. That's when Ted Cruz won it. And they, in each case, again, are practicing the, you know, politics of grievance and demanding massive cuts rather than wanting to actually serve the Americans whose votes they are seeking. And so I don't know that I would put a ton of stock into Iowa or New Hampshire for that matter. Remember, 4 years ago when Joe Biden was losing in Iowa, losing in New Hampshire, but then you started getting towards states that were more diverse, which is what you have across more of the country. And South Carolina would be the next stop. By that time, Nikki Haley may have done well enough in New Hampshire to really make this a two-person race. At some point, Ron DeSantis is going to throw his hands up and walk away. I'm frankly quite surprised that he hasn't done it yet. And then once it gets to be Nikki Haley, maybe, just maybe, people look at Donald Trump's criminal proceedings. They hear how his speeches have become more rambling, more divisive. He did it again last night, where he started off on script with kind of a unifying theme, but quickly went into, very divisive language, talked about, Joe Biden being the worst president in the nation's history and a danger to democracy, which is, just full on projecting at that point, because he's not campaigning on any ideas. He's not campaigning on what he would do. If Donald Trump could pass a budget again, what would he do? He didn't do healthcare last time. He didn't do infrastructure last time he was president. All he did was blow a $2 trillion hole in the deficit by passing tax cuts that were skewed toward the very rich. So pay attention to the issues, not the vibe. Pay attention to the services that need to be done, not the grievances that they talk about, as we carry on now officially with the 2024 presidential campaign. Have you ever wondered what happens when a Wisconsin company prints too many shirts? Well, sometimes they end up halfway around the world. That's one of the posts we have on our social media sites. Search for Up North News WI, and you'll see how one company called the Wisconsin Clothing Company shipped a batch of shirts all the way to Uganda for student athletes to be able to wear. You can check that out again. Go to Facebook, for example. Search for Up North News WI, and then scroll down, and you'll see a very heartwarming story about that. 7:26 right now. Quick look at sports. The Marquette men's basketball team defeated Villanova yesterday afternoon, 87-74. Marquette fell in the rankings from number 11 to number 17 after two recent losses. They next play at St. John's on Saturday. The Badger men's basketball team moved up in the latest polling. From number 15, they're now number 11, 11th ranked in the nation in the AP poll as they sit atop the Big Ten at 5 wins and no losses. Tonight, they will play Penn State on the road, 8 o'clock. That game can be heard on the Civic Media app. If you go listen to one of these Civic Media stations, either locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. You can catch the Badger men at Penn State. Again, that's tonight, coming up at 8 o'clock. The Marquette women's basketball team is now 22nd ranked in the nation, and they play tomorrow at Villanova. The Badger women's basketball team is at Iowa tonight. And the Milwaukee Bucks, they play tomorrow in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. You can catch Bucks basketball on Oshkosh Air Support. Also News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. So Civic Media. I can't forget to mention all of the high school sports that go along with that as well. Speaking of high school sports, we normally talk to Jimmy Koska every so often about Wisconsin sports. He joined us all about the state high school football tournament for a time. But we've also talked to him about his role as a school board member. And there is a big conference coming up in Milwaukee this weekend for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And he's going to be part of that. I'm going to be down there. Todd Alba is going to be down there. And so tomorrow at 7:20, we will have Jimmy Koska on to talk a bit about the big issues that are facing Wisconsin public education from the perspective of Jimmy Koska, a school board member, and more as well. So tune into that tomorrow. All right, when we come back here, we will talk to Professor Sam Wong of the Princeton Gerrymandering Institute about those remedial maps that have been turned into the state Supreme Court. Back in a bit. You're Up North.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Special report, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Dave Packer. A record-breaking victory for former President Donald Trump, winning the Iowa caucuses in a landslide. ABC's Sherry Preston is in Des Moines this morning with a reaction from voters.
Tom Donnelly has always supported Donald Trump and says he thinks other Republicans will get on board once they see how well he does in the next several contests. As for the prospects of a second Trump term in the White House,
I think it will be difficult for the Senate and Congress. And yeah, you have these political factions, and we've never been more divided. But that's going to be the case with anybody.
Other voters told me they didn't know what they'd do if Trump wins the nomination. Many of them voted for him the first time and even the second time, but a third time, they said they weren't sure about that. Sherry Preston, ABC News, Des Moines.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who invested heavily in Iowa's ground game, coming in a distant second last night, coming in third, winning one county, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are in the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
It is bitterly cold out there today. We have a wind chill advisory in effect through this morning. The wind chill is going to be hovering between minus 20 and minus 30 here for a good chunk of the day. Mostly cloudy, some light snow showers today, 3 above. More light snow tonight, less than a half inch, 5 below tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a high near 6. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 5 below.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Dance. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one.
one else was in the room where it happened. The room where it happened. The room
it is the birthday happened. Of Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton. Turns 44 years old today. And it's appropriate to play it here because we couldn't be in the room where it happened back in 2011 when Wisconsin's legislative maps were radically rewritten. Inside private law offices, behind closed doors, legislators were required to sign oaths of secrecy about the way that they were rigging the maps and having them protected by a state Supreme Court that was controlled by right-wing justices. But once the right-wing justices no longer controlled the court, a legal challenge was launched and successfully argued before the court. As that legal challenge was getting underway last year, we spoke to Professor Sam Wong from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project about the way the data shows just how much Wisconsin's maps do not represent the will of the Wisconsin people overall. And now that we've moved into the part of the challenge where remedial maps have to be submitted and the court may pick one or they may drop a map of their own, we asked Professor Wong to come back and tell us about the seven maps that were submitted late last Friday for the court to consider. Talked to him late yesterday, and here's our discussion. Professor, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. A pleasure to be with you in Wisconsin.
I've been looking at your analysis along with other people who are looking at these maps, and let's just jump right into it. We've talked about the issues behind this. You were kind enough to visit with us several months back to talk about the nature of gerrymandering. So we have these seven maps that have been submitted. Any one of them could be chosen. Any one of them could be modified. But looking at the seven at face value as they came in late last Friday, as you looked through them, how would you best describe your opinion of the seven, you know, overall?
Well, I think these are pretty interesting maps overall. It's interesting to have seven different contributions from both parties and also from outside parties to the court. And I would react in them by saying, that these seven maps do a good job of showing the different perspectives that different parties may have. And they show that it's possible to make a trade-off that satisfies all the court's requirements. Five of the seven seem to do an okay job of meeting all the requirements laid down in the court's decision.
Yeah, there is, again, you're looking for things like keeping it compact, you know, contiguous, minimizing splits, you know, between county lines and city lines and things like that. But then there's also the expected partisan skew, it's called, you know, how balanced would it be from a partisan standpoint? And I guess I have to say, in looking at some of the graphs and analysis that you and others put up, what was really telling to me was at one of the far ends of all these maps was the partisan skew for the map submitted by legislative Republicans. They clearly put one that, as you graphed all seven of them, it's clearly, quote, out there when it comes to partisan skew, right?
That's right. So first off, as you say, equal population is just a basic federal requirement, and they all come reasonably close. Federal law requires that that districts be within about 5% of average in population. So all seven of these maps do that. That's sort of a basic thing that's just, you know, anting up to get into the game at all. But it is interesting that that the legislative Republicans are the outlier here. So out of these seven plans, their plan splits the most cities, and it also has the most partisan deviation, where Democrats would need 57% of the vote to have a chance at getting an even split in the Assembly and Senate. 57% in the Assembly, 56% in the Senate. And conversely, Republicans would only need 43% of the vote to get a majority in the Assembly and 44% in the Senate. So it's an interesting contribution. I think what they were doing, my general feeling is that the Republicans were taking literally the idea of making districts contiguous, but they did not take seriously the other requirements put down by the court, including keeping cities whole and maintaining partisan fairness. For them, those were secondary.
The other overarching theme of the seven is something we've hit upon a few times here, but I think, again, is worth telling. What we're not looking to do here, all these various parties, is to create a set of 50-50 maps or much less Democratic majority maps. The fact of the matter is these all show a Republican lean because of the way that you have to draw the lines in the legislature, correct?
That's right. What the court said in its ruling was that it said that the court's job is not to pick between the parties and that it needs to be a neutral partisan arbiter. And their interpretation of that was that, therefore, they would favor a plan that showed as little favor between the two parties as possible. Now, there's no way to guarantee an outcome. If you draw a fair map and people vary in their opinions, then inevitably control of the Senate and Assembly in Wisconsin will change from election to election. And that's a good feature of a map. So I would say all of these maps show at least a little bit of favor towards Republicans. And that's perhaps to be expected because Democratic voters are quite densely packed in cities, Republican in rural areas. Republicans are favored, but not quite so lopsidedly. And when you have that asymmetry where one side is quite lopsided in its preferences and where it lives and the other one less lopsided, then the side that is more lopsided tends to be a little bit harder to get overall. It's harder for them to get overall fair representation. So yeah, all of these plans show a little bit of Republican favor. And then, you know, the one by the legislative Republicans shows just about as much favor as the plan that got overturned.
That's right. And then at the somewhat, I guess, at the other end of that would be the map submitted by Law Forward on behalf of the folks who brought the lawsuit originally. But there, too, we wouldn't say that that one is least fair to Republicans so much as it is most fair to the criteria that's been laid down for this assignment.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a deep dive done by a couple of people out there. I will say that John Johnson at Marquette Law School has done a great first pass at geographic analysis. We've got a second pass here at the Princeton Gerrymandering Project that we're still crunching numbers on. But what it looks like is this. The one that is sort of, in some sense, the opposite of the legislative Republican plan is the one from Law Forward. They're a progressive group. Even in their plan, Democrats would still need a little bit more than 50% of the vote to have a 50-50 shot at controlling the Assembly and Senate. They would still need, we think, about 50.6%, say 50-51% of the vote to have a shot at controlling the Assembly, about 51 or a little more percent of the vote to control the Senate. So what that means is that it is very definitely the case that that Democrats would need to win more than half of the vote to be more likely than not to control either chamber. So in that respect, Wisconsin, you know, these plans all show a little bit of favor towards Republicans. And as we talked about already, a few of them show a lot of favor to Republicans.
Right. But among the ones that are more balanced, I mean, you have some here, you know, that conceivably would have a split in the Senate of 17 to 16 Republicans to Democrats and 50 to 49, again, Republicans to Democrats in the Assembly. I would, and now we're going to move into the conjecture part of the interview here, but I think that if a lot of lay people heard that there was a map that did that, they would say, why are we talking anymore? Why can't we just put that one in? The process isn't that easy, but the point being, as people have been saying for years and years, you can create fairer maps than what we have currently.
Yeah, I would say that in addition to what you said, I agree with everything you said. I would also say that that in all of these maps, Republicans have a very fair shot at winning control. Democrats have a very fair shot at winning control. And there are competitive seats in all of these, some more than others. But there are competitive seats in all of these maps that have at least the five that have better partisan balance. And so in that respect, it would be a change over the last several decades. Wisconsin would have maps that overall reflected to the will of the people, not too many city splits, and competition.
What's your view of how this is unfolding in Wisconsin right now?
Well, it's one of several ways that extreme partisanship can be remediated. I would say that anytime one party is in control of redistricting, whether it's Republicans in Wisconsin or, say, Democrats in Illinois, if there's one party in charge, then they have a motivation under current conditions of polarization between the parties they are motivated to draw themselves into power and lock out the other side. There's a few remedies. In states like Ohio, which you mentioned, citizens have the power to bring an initiative and amend the Constitution and take away the power of redistricting from the legislature. So they can form an independent commission, which acts kind of like a jury to draw its lines independent of the legislature. On the other hand, in Wisconsin, to my knowledge, there is no such provision in the Constitution. And what that means is the two tools that are available in Wisconsin are either having divided government, for instance, Governor Evers vetoed the legislature's initial efforts to make a plan. The other line of defense is a court that will rein in the excesses using state laws and state constitution. So there are protections in the Wisconsin state constitution against various offenses. One of them got invoked in this case. So basically it's a game of putting the brakes on a runaway train, where the runaway train is any legislature that is controlled by one party.
And then my final question is, again, admittedly speculative, but as somebody who's familiar with all these processes as they play out in these states, with it now being reviewed by two consultants that the justices brought on board, and then the justices and the consultants will decide whether to make changes or to put something else out there. Is it your sense, having looked at these seven maps, that any one of them might be the one that's picked with virtually no changes because it works best in your view? Or do you think that there's still going to be some perhaps significant changes in whatever the final map will be?
I couldn't say what the court will do. I will say, looking at what they wrote in their decision, if we take seriously the idea of their criteria, which were compactness, not too many city splits, and partisan fairness, three of these entrants do seem to rise to the top, and they are the law forward external map, and then two maps brought by plaintiff's side, the petitioner, the right petitioners, WRIGHT, and Governor Evers. All of those have not too many splits. They have the fewest splits other than one of the conservative groups, and then they also have the least partisan asymmetry. So one could imagine one of those three plans, law forward, the right petitioners, or Governor Evers being picked. But certainly when special masters are retained by a court, they also have the option to make adjustments. And I will say one thing we haven't talked about at all is the role of communities. If there are local communities in any of the areas of Wisconsin that need to be represented, that even in these, let's call them finalists, if they are not well represented, then it may be necessary to perform an adjustment to make sure that communities in Wisconsin get represented in a reasonable manner, so that, you know, if you're a farm community or if you're a particular ethnic community, you can still make sure to have somebody representing you in either the Senate or the Assembly.
It has been downright heartwarming to have such a respectful, deliberative, and data-based conversation about maps compared to what Wisconsin has endured for the past 12 years or so. Professor Sam Wong from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, thank you very much for visiting with us again, helping break down these maps, and I hope we can stay in touch with you as we see what comes through this process. Thanks again.
Delighted to join you today.
It is a rather accelerated timeline, but at the moment, barring some reason why the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court would insert themselves into it, we are that much closer to having, again, fairer, more competitive maps for voters here in Wisconsin. Hey, there's a new podcast out by the folks at Courier Newsroom, which is the parent company of Up North News. It's called Vibes Only, where hosts Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar basically call out the BS that is skewing the vibe out there, how Americans feel about the economy, about the presidential race, about democracy itself. They'll look at some of the need-to-know news of the week as they help call out misinformation that's floating around out there. Vibes Only, look for it where you get your podcasts. And by the way, if you go to that podcast place and have not yet subscribed to Up North News Radio as a podcast so you can catch us on demand, you ought to fix that too. We'd appreciate it so much. Chad Holmes is coming up right after this break to wrap up our conversation for this Tuesday. You're Up North.
Madison and said, I know you hate him, but let's hear what he has to say.
Thomas Paine.
Well, I arranged the meeting.
I arrange the menu, the venue, the seating.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We are just a few minutes away from the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio up in the Wausau area. If you're not up in the Wausau area and want to catch Chad's show, again, you can either subscribe as a podcast or catch him through the Civic Media app. Download it there. Apparently, today's show is going to be more adventurous than the usual Chad Holmes Show, raising the mystery radio question, what do you do with a talk show when the host can't talk? Chad Holmes is a horseness, joins us now.
Yeah, it feels better than I thought it was. When I woke up this morning, you know how the throat sometimes feels like, and as I've got going here this morning, it's starting to come around. In fact, it feels like I have been in this pattern for about 2 weeks here where it's just been a struggle. And it finally feels like maybe I'm seeing the end of the tunnel. Well, at least that's my hope.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's been a lot going on around here.
There's a lot going around.
Yeah.
Came out right out of the holidays. Families got together and shared more than just some conversations and some laughs. You know, my wife works up at the hospital in Rice Lake. She says it is jam-packed with new COVID cases, with other people that just have crud that is really bad. So I'm not surprised. And hopefully you're doing whatever it is you do, gargling or whatever, because I mean, you call so much play by play. You have to be a professional at vocal care by now.
Last night, in fact, I was on the bus with Wausau West boys basketball and we went to Chippewa Falls. We went right past the big exit to Lake Wissota. And I thought, you got to get a home of Pat Kreitlow on there, but let's swing by and see Pat. But
I might have to do a bit
night,
more, but thank
last
you.
Night it goes to overtime. So, I mean, I'm thinking this is, I mean, it's already been a long day and I'm struggling a little bit. And every time out at the end, I am taking my water bottle. I'm gargling. I'm trying to refresh for the next segment to make it to the finish line. So you do what it takes to get there.
Chad, are you using there's a great herbal remedy called Throat Coat. You can get it at the supermarket. It's a tea. It's really good. I know a lot of comedians who use it before they go on stage to help soothe their vocal cords, to get them ready. It's called Throat Coat. Not the best named thing ever, but it's called Throat Coat. You can find it in any tea section.
Interesting.
I am going to write
tea.
That
I've never
down.
Heard. Yeah, I'm writing it down as we speak here. Yeah, that is definitely something worth looking into here. So, yeah, you are a man on the move. And of course, you've been to so many places. I think you might fit in with our little question of the day here. And that is, what's your favorite dive bar? And we got from somebody listening on the Shaw WAUK. They mentioned an East Side Milwaukee bar called Thurman's 15. Says it's a Grateful Dead bar named after the late, great Thurman Munson from the New York Yankees, who died far too soon in a plane crash many years ago. But clearly some affection there to name the bar Thurman's and have a Grateful Dead theme. And again, for folks that heard, East Side Milwaukee. No. Yeah. You can have a dive bar in the middle of any big city too. Mm-hmm. It's the, here's that word again, the vibe. Yep. It's the vibe on the inside, not the zip code.
Yeah. I should have an answer but I don't have a great answer. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I should have an answer because when I was very, very, very young, basically from like 2 to 5 years old, 2 to 6 years old, my parents owned a little bar in Galloway, which is a little bit outside Wittenberg. And I think I had my life's fill of being around bars by the time I was 6 years old. So I tried to avoid it ever since then.
Well, the same can be said for, you know, I had, you know, an alcoholic grandfather on one side and then a grandmother on the other side who may not have been an alcoholic, but she sure liked to spend a lot of time at the bars on West 7th Street in St. Paul, the Knotty Pine being the most familiar. And yeah, we spent a lot of time in there as little kids when it was their turn to babysit us. You'd always get a little bag of old Dutch potato chips and an orange crush. And you thought you were royalty. You know, that you could go sit in a booth somewhere while either grandma or grandpa, you know, talk to their friends at the bar. You do the little shuffle bowling game, you know, with the little disc and the sawdust or the pinball machine, although little kids weren't supposed to play with that yet. But boy, some of those bars, they're dives, but there's just something about the company there, you know?
Better find the right one, though.
Oh, yeah. Thurman's is a great bar, though. Dan, we have him on Fridays. Last name. Grateful Dead.
Schumacher.
Fan. Thank you. Dan Schumacher. Yep. He's probably been to that bar quite a few times, but if he hasn't, he'd love it there.
We will definitely have to keep that one in mind. Yes. So, Chad, right now, I mean, I said if I were to show up there at the end of the workday and say, let's go grab a frosty beverage, where would you take me first?
Oh, geez,
I feel like we're playing the dating game here. If we were in Wausau, had to go to a bar. Look at this. He doesn't want to play favorites. It's
I'm going to be honest. I'm not a drinker.
Chad Holmes hates bars. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, and I'm going to share it more because the reason is because both my parents were alcoholics.
Understandable.
And frankly, to get serious here, I think that this state has an issue with drinking.
Oh, of course it does. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not going to get any fight from me on that.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out and having a drink, but I just sometimes feel like, man, I mean, the glorification of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was too close to it for too long
Makes perfect sense.
Being around people that drink.
When we were in Georgia and we wanted to order a Bloody Mary on Sunday morning, we got there at like 9:30 and they said, sorry, we can't serve you until 11. Those are our liquor laws here. I was like, what? And then I realized, oh, maybe it's us.
Maybe Wisconsin has an accessibility thing, maybe, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, we really do. And that's where, again, for the friends that I have who have quit drinking and are working hard to avoid the temptation, segments like this are always a little awkward because I do like to imbibe. I do have some favorite watery bowls. But I want to absolutely make clear to respect anybody who says, you know, this is not normal in much of the rest of the world. And I have to completely acknowledge that and just, you know, tell people who do imbibe to enjoy in moderation.
And let me say, finding these places that you do have good friends, where you have great, you know, opportunities to connect with people and not to be alone all the time is a wonderful thing. I mean, it really, where sometimes instead of sitting by yourself at home, to be able to have a place where, you know, you'll get buddies there and friends and be able to have smiles and talk about whatever's happening is a fantastic thing. So those little bars are wonderful places.
And it doesn't have to be a bar. It doesn't have to be, you know, Cheers. It can be a coffee shop. It can be a donut shop. It can be all those places that we should talk more about that topic at some point here. But you've got to talk enough for the next 2 hours as it is. Chad Holmes, thank you as always for the visit. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, Pat. You too, Greg.
Thanks.
And yeah, Greg, welcome back.
Glad
you came back. I'm really, really, really glad you came back.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be back.
Which says nothing about Luke Mathers. He's a nice guy.
Greg tells me he's handsome.
And yeah, okay. Good time for us to go now. y'all have a great day. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Special